Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Folks, we're very fortunate to have folks from Children's Hospital, Jonathan Brook, COO, as well as Dr. George Bissett from Children's. He's the chief medical officer there to talk about the fact that they are nearing completion of a $350 million transformation of a number of services provided by Children's Hospital. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Noah. Great to be here.
So, Jonathan, let's start with you. You know, a lot of people don't realize the breadth and depth of the services provided, nor do they, I think, recognize the geographic impact you have. Sure, Children's Hospital is located within the city of New Orleans, but it is so much bigger than the city of New Orleans, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great question. Like you said, it's a common misperception. The name of our organization is Children's Hospital New Orleans, but we're really Louisiana's Children's Hospital. Every year we serve patients from all 64 parishes and across the Gulf Coast. We also get patients that come in from other countries for pediatric heart surgery. We're the only hospital in the state that provides pediatric dialysis, so dialysis for kids. We have a big transplant program, liver, kidney, bone marrow, and pretty comprehensive list of services that we offer. We also have clinics really all across the state, as far away as Alexandria, Baton Rouge, Covington, Lafayette. And with virtual care now, we can really serve kids and families anywhere in the Gulf Coast region.
So when we think about pediatric health care, I served on a hospital for greater than 20 years, and oftentimes we discuss pediatric health care. In many regards, in many respects, it's vastly different than adult health care, right?
Yeah, Newell, this is George Bissett. I think you're absolutely right. We use the expression, and I think it's commonly used, that kids are not just small adults. Everybody here, all the physicians here are trained specifically in pediatrics and the pediatric subspecialties. And it's a totally different training program, so that when we talk about a pediatric dermatologist, we talk about a dermatologist that has specific training in the diseases that are characteristic in the pediatric population. So it's totally different.
We're talking to Dr. George Bissett, the chief medical officer at Children's. Is that because just the physiology of the body of the pediatric ages, that it's really in transition? It's not as stable as once you reach adulthood?
Great point. I think when you look at some of the older adolescents, I think the diseases tend to get much more similar to what we see in adults. But in the pediatric population, when you're talking about children less than 12 years of age, it's really a vastly different group of diseases. We see diseases in the pediatric population that you would never see in an adult. To give you one example, we see a tumor called neuroblastoma that is a common tumor in the pediatric age range as far as tumors go, but you would never see that in an adult. And by the same token, we don't see some of the end stage. We certainly don't see like alcoholic cirrhosis, things like that in the pediatric population. So vastly different populations, and that's why our training is dedicated towards specifically treating those diseases.
Newell, this is Jonathan. I'd add on to that that, you know, one of the great benefits of a freestanding children's hospital like ours is that, you know, we're uniquely designed to take care of kids, which, like George said, aren't little adults. And so when you think about something as simple as medication dosages, for an adult, oftentimes, you have a pill in a certain dosage and you use multiple of those pills to get up to the dosage that you need to administer to that patient. It's the opposite with kids. Oftentimes, we're using very small doses, and so we have medications available that truly are kid-sized that simply might not be available at an adult hospital.
And I wanted the opportunity to kind of flush those details out because I think oftentimes people really overlook the necessity of having a robust children's health network in their community.
Yeah, I would. This is George Bissett again. We have a vast array of specialties here. We do take care of kids up to the age of 21 years, but we have in our group of 400 physicians that are all dedicated to the pediatric population. I think we span across 40 different pediatric subspecialties. So not only are they trained in nephrology or hematology, but it's specifically in the pediatric population.
You know, we hear stories all the time about shortages in medical professionals. What is y'all's experience in pediatric healthcare? You don't hear about that very often.
Well, I think the supply and demand tends to fluctuate a little bit. Every few years, it almost looks like what I would consider a sine wave. There's variability in the supply, but there are specialists that are very unique. For example, pediatric rheumatology, where they just take care of kids with joint diseases, or pediatric dermatology, where you probably won't find another dedicated pediatric dermatologist in the state of Louisiana other than the ones that are here at Children's Hospital. So we've got people with very, very specialized training, and those training programs are not terribly abundant. It's tough to find places that train pediatric dermatologists or rheumatologists. Those are some of the struggles that we have to deal with, which is why we try to recruit from other places, from other states. We try to bring different levels of expertise here to the Louisiana and Gulf Coast market.
That's really one of the great stories, Newell, coming out of Children's Hospital New Orleans over the last couple of years. We've had dozens of top providers from around the country who have raised their hand and said they want to move to New Orleans and be a part of what we're building, Dr. Bissett included. He's probably not going to brag on himself, but he's an internationally known pediatric radiologist. I think he has board certifications and four different subspecialties, and he's just one of a number of folks who have joined the children's team in the last few years. We just announced yesterday that this summer we'll be having a new provider, Dr. Mark Klein, join the team, internationally known physician who's really responsible for many of the medical breakthroughs and pediatric AIDS care delivery. Does a ton of work all over the world, and to be able to attract that kind of talent to New Orleans and be a part of what we're building, I think is really exciting both for us and exciting for the families of Louisiana.
And one of the important byproducts of that, I have to assume, is that as a teaching institution, a teaching hospital as well, you're really involved in this succession planning of pediatric health care in a huge way in our community.
Yeah, this is an interesting fact, Newell, is that if you look across the state, 75% of the pediatricians in the state of Louisiana trained here at Children's Hospital. We have a unique relationship. This may be unique throughout the country in that we actually have two academic institutions under one roof. We have LSU faculty and we have Tulane faculty, as well as residents and medical students. There aren't many places like that around the country. So we feel it's an obligation to provide these trainees, we need to provide them with the absolute best training that we can muster. We think our children deserve that high quality, but it's a responsibility to do a lot of teaching.
And just my own curiosity, I would imagine that you guys participate in a lot of clinical trial work as well that is unique to pediatric healthcare.
That's correct. I think that certainly in the field of oncology, we have lots of trials that are ongoing. We're always looking for new opportunities to partner with some of the companies, some of the vendors that create some of the newer medications that are available now on the market for as new therapies for cancer. And we've made huge strides in the field of oncology treatment, and that's predominantly why, because we've had all these clinical trials.
Yeah.
Newell, our chief research officer, Stacy Drury, she's a member of the Tulane faculty, and she's a child psychiatrist, and that's a group that actually is tremendously accomplished in terms of research as well. You might not think about child psychiatry as a place where a lot of research is happening, but that's another big piece of our research portfolio.
Absolutely. Well, my children are 25 and 24 today, so I've seen the growth of Children's Hospital. In fact, there was a time that we were there so often, I thought that someone may call child protection on me, but I've actually seen, you know, the growth. So when we come back from the break, let's kind of pivot to that to talk about, I remember the original campus being, I thought it was surprisingly small, knowing of all the people that visited Children's Hospital. And it's different today. I was on the campus not too long ago and was just completely blown away by what I saw. And so we'll be right back with Jonathan Brook and Dr. George Bissett. Jonathan is the COO, and Dr. Bissett is the chief medical officer there. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Jonathan Brooks, the chief operating officer for Children's Hospital, and Dr. George Bissett, the chief medical officer there as well. I just talked about having been visiting Children's Hospital some 25 years now and watched a lot of the growth. I got to imagine the number of patients that you serve today as opposed to them has increased exponentially.
Yeah, that's a great comment. You know, on any given day, there's probably between 150 or 200 inpatients being served at Children's Hospital among our various levels of care. We have sort of general, what we call med surge or acute care beds, intensive care, and then, of course, our behavioral health service line that has seen a tremendous amount of growth over the course of the last couple of years. And on top of that, a tremendous portfolio of outpatient business as well. On any given day, 500 or so primary care visits, 450 specialty visits, 40 to 50 surgical cases, a really busy dedicated pediatric emergency room, and the virtual care business that we do on top of that. So, to your point, yes, a ton of growth, especially over the last couple of years, thanks in large part to the campus transformation.
Jonathan, I got to tell you, I know the import of those numbers. Y'all are damn busy. No rest for the weary, right?
That's right. That's right.
So when we talk about, I remember when y'all announced the $300 million campus transformation, I think I saw some of that when I visited the campus not too long ago. I have to say I was blown away. I mean, as I drove through that new parking lot and entrance area that linked kind of everything together, I was like, oh, my God, where did these buildings come from?
Well, it's been quite a transformation. I have to say, when I arrived here 3 years ago, having left New Orleans about 35 years ago, there hadn't been much change. If you look at what's happened in the last three and a half years, it's been truly a remarkable transformation. We're adding almost 250,000 square feet of new clinical care space. And Newell, you probably didn't get a chance to walk around inside, but if you, we've got a new cardiac intensive care unit that's 28 beds. We've got a new imaging center with all the latest and greatest radiology equipment, MRI scanners, CT scanners. Our emergency room is brand new. It's not quite finished yet, but we'll wrap this whole project up in the early fall, and we're looking forward to a truly grand opening. But I think that's the physical space. We opened in 1955, and I think we've made probably more progress in the last 3 years than we did in the previous 52. But we're matching this incredible campus transformation with recruiting the highest quality people.
The technology in the adult healthcare sector is constantly moving all of the time. I got to imagine it's the same in pediatric care as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Technology and innovating in the technology space is something that's always top of mind. One, I think, good example of just thinking about how technology can be deployed in this space. One of the new spaces that we opened is a new cardiac intensive care unit for kids. We call it our CICU. And the work that the clinicians do in this unit is almost, mind-boggling to think about. You know, you think about a baby who just a couple of days after birth needs heart surgery. So our heart surgeons are doing surgery on a heart the size of a strawberry, and then you have to have a whole team of intensive care physicians who take care of those babies after a surgery. And in order to supplement sort of the human component of that care, we're getting ready to implement a new technology that incorporates artificial intelligence so that the physicians can get a heads up if one of those kids starts to decompensate, and they can make an intervention before they actually even get there. Essentially have all these different monitors measuring different things, and all that data goes into a artificial intelligence-driven algorithm that can help the docs provide better care. So technology continues to be a huge piece of the care we provide here at Children's New Orleans.
I have to imagine that a larger and probably more efficient, flowing ER, which is what every healthcare facility, quite frankly, desires, was top of mind for you guys as well.
That's absolutely true. I think we spent a lot of time designing our flow through the emergency department. We now have two very large trauma bays because we've become a level two trauma center. So now patients involved in motor vehicle accidents or, you know, significant falls are being brought here. And I would say prior to a year ago, those patients were all going to University Medical Center. So we spent a lot of time working on the logistics of the flow through the emergency department and where our emergency room physicians are deployed. So we're very confident that we've taken all the right steps.
And Newell, on the topic of emergency care, we were very excited recently to announce some additional growth in another part of the community. You know, when you think of Children's Hospital, you think of this iconic campus we have here in Uptown, but we recently announced that we're going to be opening a new dedicated pediatric emergency department right at the corner of Clearview and Veterans Boulevard. I'm sure you and your listeners know that very busy intersection, and we're thrilled to be able to bring a Children's Hospital dedicated pediatric emergency department to that portion of the community.
Yep. Standalone ER, very innovative, especially in pediatric health care. You've seen a lot of that in adult health care, but not nearly as many for pediatric care.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that, you know, generally speaking, pediatrics tends to, we tend to see what the adult market is doing, and we respond a little bit to that. And I think we had a great opportunity over in Jefferson Parish to build this. I think it's about 11,000 square foot dedicated pediatric ER, and it's really an opportunity for us to provide services to the people of Jefferson Parish.
It was really response to community need. We had so many of our patients and families sort of asking for us for an alternative to the other pediatric emergency department that's in the East Bank of Jefferson Parish. So we're thrilled to be able to bring that service to that community.
Gentlemen, got a text here, and I know you like to hear these. My daughter spent 68 days in a row in Children's when she was 8. I spent many nights out by the statue in the driveway praying. God bless Children's and the staff. They saved my daughter and changed our lives. I've heard so many stories like that. I wanted to touch base real quick as y'all went through this $300 million campus transformation. Obviously, the landscape of the pandemic overlaying all of this, that had to make the challenges even greater for you guys.
I think it did make the challenges greater, but we thought it was better to stay the course. I mean, I think there are we never really considered putting everything on hold for a year or two or however long the pandemic was going to take. We thought this was we had a strong commitment from our construction crews. They wanted to work on this. We wanted to get it completed. We weren't going to take any unnecessary risks. But it did provide some new challenges. But we faced them pretty effectively because we haven't really had any significant delays, and we're scheduled to, again, the grand opening should be early fall, and I think we're right on the timeline.
Yeah. You know, several years ago, Noel, when our board of trustees made this bold commitment to invest $300 million in the future of Louisiana's children, it really was about generational change. And I know the past year certainly hasn't felt like a moment in time, but we're approaching our work with a long time horizon. You know, we know that there are studies out there that say that Louisiana and New Orleans are, you know, pretty much lowest on the totem pole, 49th and 50th in the country in terms of healthcare outcomes for kids. And from our perspective, that just doesn't align with the culture and the spirit of our New Orleans community. And so when we're making these big investments, we're looking for the long term. And like Dr. Bissett said, you know, we stayed the course, continued to open these new spaces because we know that, you know, on the other side of this, and it does finally feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, doesn't it? We're going to need this sort of care and these sort of facilities for our kids.
As y'all have gone through this transformation, this goes to each of you. What are you most proud of?
Ooh. You know, I'll tell you that the thing that is so rewarding for me are the stories like the one that was texted to you a few minutes ago. To be able to meet the families and understand the care that we can provide that so often no one else in the state of Louisiana, certainly not in the city of New Orleans, can provide. It really is gratifying to know that we can be a part of that solution. I'm a new father myself. I have a daughter, Betsy, who just turned 1 year old. And to know that, you know, we have these resources in our community if she ever were to need anything like that, in addition to all of the services that we provide to help keep kids well, like our network of primary care clinics. It's just so rewarding to know that we can make an impact on the next generation of New Orleans kids.
Dr. Bissett?
If I could add to that, I think one of the things that our CEO, John Nickens, does is he will create these town hall meetings where he gets the thoughts of many of the physicians. And the common theme that comes up in those discussions that I'm very proud of is that the fact that we take care of all kids, regardless of their race or their financial status. We take care of everyone, and everyone who comes through our front door that's in need of health care, we take care of. We don't turn anyone away, and I think that's what I feel most proud about.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to a break, and when we come back, things are changing fast for you guys because it seems to me that you're very much going to have a leadership role as it relates to the pandemic, which as a result of now the vaccinations being approved for 12 to 15-year-olds, and I'm sure that's going to fall to even younger ages here in the very near future. We'll talk about what role you guys will play in that endeavor. We'll be right back. Stay with us, folks. On a text line, it says, I will be 29 on the 23rd of this month. Many nights my mom worked there as a nurse at Children's Hospital. For years, I suffered from broken bones, being sick, and having my tonsil removed. Also, they changed my life. I had suffered from seizures until I was 7. The doctor there helped me grow out of it all. The time that I was there, they took care of me like I was their own child. We're talking with Jonathan Brook as well as Dr. George Bissett from Children's Hospital. Gentlemen, obviously with the CDC and the FDA saying yes to vaccinations going down to age 12, 12 through 15-year-olds, and we anticipate it will go even lower than that, y'all rise to the forefront of a whole sector of the population that is yet to receive this, and I know that I know our community will be looking at you guys to play a critical role.
Yeah, absolutely. We've taken a real front and center role in community vaccination efforts over the course of the last couple months. You probably may have seen that LCMC Health was involved in helping set up a big operation at the Morial Convention Center that's served thousands of people. From the Children's Hospital perspective, to your point, Noel, early on, you know, most of our normal patients weren't eligible for the vaccine. And so we made a big commitment to try to make sure that teachers got vaccinated and worked really closely with the Orleans Parish School System, Jefferson Parish, the independent and private schools around the area, and were able to get almost 5,000 educators vaccinated in very short order, which was something we were very proud about. And to your point, we're thrilled with the news about the change in age eligibility for the new Pfizer vaccine. I think it's as soon as maybe even tomorrow, kids 12 to 15 will be eligible to get the vaccine. And so here at Children's Hospital and across all of our LCMC Health hospital sites, we'll be offering vaccines to those young persons 12 and up.
Dr. Brissett, have y'all had any incidents or cases that have been COVID-related that have been a significant challenge for you guys?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think when in the height of the pandemic, we, as I think most of your listeners know, we weren't really seeing that much COVID in children. And when we did see it, they tended not to be terribly sick. One of the complications, though, that we have seen where they have been fairly sick is this multi-inflammatory system disease that is a byproduct, if you will, of having COVID. And we have seen a few of those. We haven't seen a large number, but they can get quite sick. And we have had a couple in our intensive care unit. So but to have really sick children with primary COVID, we haven't had many.
Well, that's a good thing, because you know you hear some of the anecdotal stories across the country of significant complications, and I guess with variants out there, you just really never know, do you?
You don't, and it's. I was reading some material the other day that said that if you take all the patients that have had COVID, that 3 out of 4 has some lingering effect from that from the COVID infection, and we know that when you get infected with COVID, the coronavirus actually it can affect every organ in your body, and so it's probably not that surprising that a fair number of patients have some lingering effects from the acute illness.
Can we expect to see some of your pediatric health experts there at Children's front and center, taking a more important role in advocacy relative to vaccinations? I mean, you know, we've kind of hit a plateau across this country with vaccination hesitancy. And, you know, it's funny how we always turn to movie stars and, you know, Hollywood to talk about getting a vaccine. I, for one, believe our own local healthcare providers that, most of whom have an expertise that we don't ever talk about and we take it for granted, that I'd much rather see them front and center.
Well, it's interesting that you should mention that, Newell, because just last week on Thursday, we had a webinar here that I moderated that was specifically focused on exactly what you touched on, and that was vaccine hesitance. We know that across the state, only 1 out of 4 people have been vaccinated, and that's a concerning number if we're ever going to get to our herd immunity phenomenon. But we had a great session. It's actually available. If you go to our website, the video of the whole session, it was about an hour long. We had 3 local, what I would call local stars. We had Dr. Tom LaViste, who is the dean of the School of Public Health at Tulane, Dr. Tonette Krausel-Wood, who's a professor of epidemiology and internal medicine at Tulane, and Dr. Jennifer Avegno, who is the city health department director, all answering questions. And it was specifically a question and answer session about why people were concerned about getting the vaccine. But that's a real problem at this point in time. If we're going to increase our numbers of those vaccinated, the biggest problem we're facing now is this vaccine hesitancy.
Yeah. Guys, let me thank you on behalf of the community for the great work that your organization does relative to pediatric health care and on so many other different fronts. Congratulations on the $300 million campus transformation. We look forward to the grand opening in the fall. We'd love to have you guys back on to talk about that. But thank you so much for your time and your insight today. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Noel.
Thank you for inviting us.
All righty. Y'all have a great week. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.